Welcome to the True Safety Podcast with Apollonia Rockwell, where each week you hear from safety industry experts and leaders discussing safety culture, team development, and the future of the safety industry. If you are looking for help with your safety program or have questions, head to truesafetyservices.com/podcast. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the True Safety Podcast. I'm your host, Apollonia Rockwell, and holy smokes, guys, I have somebody so incredible, so influential, and so inspiring. Today we have Shaheen, and Shaheen, I'll have you pronounce your last name because I'm so nervous to butcher it. Tell us your first and last name properly.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Apollonia. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited for this podcast. Yes, my name is Shaheen Abdul Rahman. It's Arabic, a little long name.
Yes, and tell everyone where you are joining us from this morning. I'm not even sure if it's morning where you're at. Probably not. Where are you joining us from?
No, I'm from Suriname. That is a small country in South America. And it's already 1 o'clock here.
Well, what's awesome is that we have this technology that is allowing us to connect today. And everyone, what is so special with Shaheen, other than being of entrepreneur, other than being a mama, other than all those things, she is running and she is the CEO and co-founder of a safety company, and the company is Heavy Construction Academy. Is that correct? Yes. And they specialize in a whole bunch of stuff, heavy equipment training. I remember some conversations we had offline. You're doing Hazwoper classes. You're teaching in all over the place in Texas, in Florida, in the States. And it's been, your guys are so busy. And I'm just so honored to talk to you this morning. But one thing, I just want to jump into it. No pause. No, I want to get into it. I want to know more about you and your story and how you got into safety. So tell us how, like, start from the beginning. Where did you grow up and what did that look like?
So how did I start with safety? I was a little girl and I grew up with heavy equipment. My grandfather had a contracting business, and as a little girl in the weekend, I was always so excited when he comes to pick me up and go to the work sites. I was always so amazed, by all the equipment that I was working on site and what they were able to do. So that is how I grew up with heavy equipment. Never did I knew back then that I will have my career within the same industry. So 15 years ago, I was 23 years old then. I started working for a big contracting company. And I started at HR, and that company was working for multinational companies in Suriname, like the BHP Billiton, Alcoa, IAM Gold, all the big mining companies. And as for us, safety was completely new because in Suriname, we do have a safety regulation, but it's so old and nobody is checking if you're doing the right things. So we had to start from the beginning. We had to start from scratch. And all the big companies, they were helping us with training, some of the training. But some of the other training, we had to learn ourselves. And we at HR, we had to make sure that all the employees had the right training, had the right medical screening. So, and we don't have any formal education in safety in Suriname. And I didn't have any formal education in safety. So I started from scratch reading all the the regulation like OSHA, like ANSI, and we had to develop our own programs. So that is how I came in contact with safety from the multinational side.
I'm running through this. I'm imagining all this. You're HR. You're somehow wearing the safety hat, and you're somehow now responsible for your employees' well-being when it comes to protecting them on the job, making sure they're getting home to their families. And this is not what you signed up for. This is not what you, you know, thought about maybe your first day. No. And so tell us, what is the culture of safety like when you began this journey? I mean, so you're saying this is something that we talked about offline, was that safety isn't, you know, there's no OSHA where you're at.
We don't have any regulations, and there are no penalties, so everyone is free to do what they like. But for us it was different, because if you want to work with the multinationals, then you need to have safety in place, because for the multinationals, safety was the highest priority. So if you want or not, you need to have safety in place. So that's how we started. We started with a safety department. We had the HR, and the HR and the safety department were collaborating. And I was always so eager to learn. So even though it wasn't my responsibility, I was always present with the safety department. I was always eager to learn, to analyze incidents, to read a lot of the standards and international requirements about safety and training. And that is how, I developed the interest in safety.
And so at this time, so how I can also imagine these conflicting safety standards for the employees. On one hand, safety is not a federal requirement. You guys don't have OSHA. So these employees, maybe some of them at their previous jobs, I mean, they're wearing tennis shoes on the job site. I mean, now they're working for this company where still it's not federal mandated to abide by safety regulations, but your guys' clients are requiring you to be, you know, in compliance with their safety standards. So I could imagine employees being conflicted. But what was the mindset of your average employee? Were they fighting safety? Like, did you see a lot of pushback, or was there a lot of people embracing safety? Was it 50-50? I mean, gosh, that was just so hard. I can imagine that being hard.
Yeah. Yeah. In the beginning, it was a challenge. It was a challenge because you now have to unlearn things.
Yeah.
And that is so easy. It's difficult to unlearn things. It's easier to teach someone something completely new than to unlearn things, because we were working with operators, truck drivers who came from the field where there are no safety regulations. So it was a completely mind shift, and it took us years back then to come from one mindset to a totally different mindset. And it's still a challenge, because every time you get new people, all the older people, they have it already in it, the safety mindset, but you still get new people every time you get new people. So it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. It still is a challenge.
I could see that. Yeah. I mean, just here, where we're at in Colorado, where we have OSHA breathing down our necks, in the construction world, in the oil and gas world, and it's still hard at times to enforce safety with some employees just because, you know, just because the mindset of this will never happen to me, you know, why take these extra steps to be cautious when, you know, I grew up in this industry and I've never seen or experienced an accident before. So it's just so far out of reach to imagine an accident happening to me. So we face that and I can't imagine your challenges. What were some techniques, like what were some of the things that you did to start enforcing a safety program or a safety culture with people that never heard of safety regulations before? How did you go about that?
So I was at the HR, so I had good relationship with all the people, all the employees.
I see. Yeah.
So we started with a lot of training.
Okay.
A lot of awareness. We start with awareness, but also one-on-one conversations with them. In the beginning, we had a lot of incidents. So we every time an incident occurred, we had to talk with them. Like, did this happen? Why did this happen? What procedure you didn't follow? And what are the consequences? If we go like this, if we go further like this, it will have a huge impact on the company, like in costs. And if we cannot pay the cost anymore, we have to lay off people. So that is how I build a relationship with the people, explain to them what is the importance of safety, and not only for them, but also for the company. So that is how I started.
Oh my gosh. That makes
with a lot of awareness, a lot of one-on-one conversations. Mm-hmm. I even did some research on the behavior side, talk to explain to them, and to see what is the behavior side of this. Why are people behave like this? Mm-hmm. And then explain the results to them.
Oh my gosh, Shane, I hear so many gems that you're talking about here, because it just makes sense, guys. I mean, for everyone listening, I think that what you've said echoes a lot of people's philosophy that have been successful in building great safety programs, is that starting with a simple relationship with the boots on the ground. And when you have employees that know that you care, that you really, really care about your well-being, their well-being, then it's easier to influence safety standards or regulations or policies when I hear you coming at the employee from two sides, the logical side of, hey, we've experienced these accidents before. You don't want this to happen to you. You don't want to impact your family. Here are the accidents we've had here. But then also the emotional side, you are building a relationship with them. You know about their family. Mm-hmm. You know, you're asking questions about who they are as a person outside of work, you know, just getting to know them as a human. And then, you know, being able to impact change from there. But so obviously you have a passion for people, you know, you start in HR here, get into safety. Now you're in charge of, you know, you grow into this safety sensitive role. So then what happens from there, from you starting your own business? And tell us about how that journey started.
So it started when I finished my my master's in business administration.
Okay.
I then had the feeling that I can do more. I can have an impact on more people than only within a company.
Yeah.
So that's when I started writing my business plan. Okay. And I had thought about it, because it was something that I wanted to do before I even start working, I really wanted to be active with people, with their development, because I have a bachelor in educational design, mm-hmm. and I knew I want to do something with educating people,
yeah.
helping them develop. And yes, that's how I started. I wrote my my business plan that I want to have a training institute teaching others how to operate equipment efficiently, effectively, so they can have more return on their investment. Mm. And on the other side, if you operate equipment, safety is the most important part of it. So how I combine both things, so the technical part of operating equipment and safety, because yeah, you cannot operate an equipment without the safety part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, so that is how I started in 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, and now I currently work for the multinationals. We work for the multinationals in Suriname. I teach their employees on safety. I do their onboarding. So all the new employees that's going to MineSight, they come to us and we teach them in their safety regulations.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm just getting goosebumps. You're so inspiring. And I do remember that our offline conversations, the mining side of things too. So is it MSHA, like how we would refer to as MSHA training? Is that the same type of training for the mine sites that you work on? Okay.
Yes.
So a lot of MSHA training. Yeah. I mean, and then what is that like? What is that like as far as typical mining companies, you know, are most contractors abiding by what OSHA would deem safe, or are people going above OSHA compliance? Are there still a lot of companies you see not following OSHA regulations?
So the companies that the multinational companies that are working in Suriname, they are American companies and Canadian, and safety is their highest priority. So if you want to work in the mining companies, you need to adhere to their regulations. So what I have seen is that you can see a huge difference between the mining companies, the multinational companies, and Surinamese companies.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but if you want to work for them, if you want to be competitive and work for them, you need to have all the requirements in place. So, you start with your mindset, a lower mindset about safety, but along the way, when you start working into the mine, in the mine site, mm-hmm. then you see that their level of understanding safety will go up also.
I see. And what about, how common is it that where you live, I mean, how common is it that there still are fatalities, incidents, I remember you mentioned like people working like in tennis shoes still, like is that on construction projects, on oil and gas projects? So it's like, is that common where you're at still, or is it becoming less and less common? Okay.
It's common. You will not see this at mine sites, at multinationals, at companies that work for the multinationals.
Mm-hmm.
You will not see that. But all the other companies, they don't know a lot of about safety.
Mm.
And because there are no penalties for them, no one coming in from the government side to see, hey, are you working according to some safety standards or not? So they they don't have to adhere to some safety rules. So there is a huge difference. And especially because I work as a third party with these companies.
Yeah.
You can see a huge, when I'm driving in the city, you can see some people climbing on buildings without a harness of all equipment. Yes, I see a lot of strange things. The safety mindset of other companies that aren't working for multinationals, it's not there yet.
Wow, how close is the industry to adopt something like OSHA? Or I mean, is that even conversation that there will soon be a federal mandate? I guess it wouldn't be a federal mandate. It's so different where you're at, but it's, you know, is there going to be a mandate anytime soon for these standard safety practices? Because my mind is so blown away right now, because I'm thinking and I'm sure you feel the same way. I mean, when you read OSHA regulations, you're probably thinking these are the bare basics. I mean, it's not even really anything special to be in OSHA compliance. Like, that's just the basic. And our goals as safety trainers, as safety consultants, I know you feel the same way. We're trying to take companies beyond OSHA compliance and really into the mindset of, I want to be safe, whatever that takes for me today. And then also keep my brother's keeper, the coworkers that I'm working alongside, you know, keeping them safe too. So do you feel like it's coming close that safety will be a mandate?
So I know that a few years ago, I think 2 years ago, they were talking about it, that there will be OSHA and specific regulations with regards to safety working in these companies. What are required? What are your employees required to have as training competencies? Yeah. But yeah, the conversation started, but after that, you hear nothing. No, so I'm also amazed when I go in some companies of if I'm driving on the road, I see some things and I'm also amazed, because my whole mindset is already, I'm so safety minded already. So yeah, for me it's also I have to think twice and look twice if that is really happening.
Did I really just see what I thought I just saw? Was someone really on top of a roof, on top of a scaffold with no fall protection on? I mean, I know that you're so people focused, and I know your heart is called to serve your community, make a huge impact in your community. And outside of that, I mean, all the work you have, employees traveling, you know, all over the place to train. Mm-hmm. And so, I know you're up to big things. What are you excited about right now? What is making you, what projects, you know, are you really excited about, looking forward? What's the next thing for you and your business?
So we, from the beginning, when I started with training, with safety, it was all about the gold mining, construction and gold mining. And currently, I think, 2 years ago, there was a huge discovery of oil in Suriname. So we will see a huge shift now from gold mining to oil and gas. And wow, as a provider of safety training, we have to prepare ourselves to that.
Absolutely.
And and the oil and gas, especially the offshore part of this is completely new for Suriname. So I'm trying to think about what is coming, how we can prepare for that, what expertise do we need to get in, because we don't have the expertise in-house currently. So yeah, that is the next thing, to see how we will provide for that industry.
My goodness. Well, first and foremost, I mean, your community is so, I think that they're blessed to have a company like you who understands that this is a people game. Yes, we're safety professionals, but at the end of the day, safety is just safety. And without the people side of it, I think that safety regulations, safety mandates can fall on deaf ears if it's not told to by the right person, by the way it's communicated. You know, I've always believed that we can't make a big enough impact by just being a safety cop and by saying, you need to do
this,
you
and
need
that.
To follow this regulation and this. Yeah, because OSHA says so. Like, that's not how we're going to be motivating and inspiring change. You know, you believe that it's people first and then we'll figure the rest out. And so they're so lucky to have somebody, to have a resource like you that can really influence the whole reason why, like explaining the why behind the safety regulations.
Safety,
that's awesome.
Yes.
And that kind of leads us into our partnership. You know, I wasn't even thinking about making that an announcement, but hey, we can make the announcement on the podcast here. Is that, you know, how we got connected is we've been following each other on social media. And one thing led to another. And with the oil and gas boom that Suriname is going to be facing, you and I have connected. We are oil and gas experts here in the States. And so for right now, we'll be able to provide safe land training, H2S training. We provide those classes virtually, and you will be able to offer those classes to your students if they are wanting to take, you know, safe land and kind of that awareness level. So tell us about that. What has been what is the excitement? I know you're excited about this oil and gas boom that's your community's about to experience, but what about the employees? Are they excited? Are they scared? Are they, they're not trained. Like, this is all so new. So
new.
What, I don't know.
Yes,
what is everyone talking about?
That is completely true. It is a new thing for Suriname. So we have thought about it, and we thought about starting with the awareness level. Because there are so many services will be needed in Suriname. Mm-hmm. And services, so many things, like offering food on the rigs. So there is so much opportunity, but I know, because I have already experienced how it is to work with multinationals, and the new multinationals coming in will not be any different. So if you want to be competitive, if you want to be able to provide your services, you need to have your safety in place. And that is what we think we can provide them, help companies understand the importance of safety. What do you need to have in place to get your company safety ready, to be able to work with them? So that is the first step. We will educate people on safety. What is the importance? What kind of training is needed for you, for your employees? And what do you need to have in place? That is how we think that we will start. And then from that side, we will go further with expertise, because we don't have the expertise in-house. That's why we collaborated with True Safety to provide them more specialized training in oil and gas.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I'm so excited. And most importantly, I'm excited to work with you. You know, I'm excited to work with somebody who's brilliant, who's passionate about people. And I mean, I love what you're saying. It's just, you are there to help companies not only bring their workers home safely, but yes, to take their company to be, to go to the next level. Mm-hmm. You're there to educate them and get them ready, get them competitive to take, go to the next level as, you know, as business owners. You're able to help them really get, like you said, safety ready and beyond. So that's going to be an incredible journey to watch. And you're right, there's going to be so many opportunities for contractors. Mm-hmm. And with opportunity, probably where your mind goes too, is my heart goes out to the souls who are putting their lives on the line to make it, to make a paycheck, right? Yes. And without the safety training awareness, without the competency, the knows of the simple hazards on an oil and gas project, I mean, people's lives are at risk. And it is a high risk job. It is serious. Yes. That employees are trained. So no one is in better hands than with you. So, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for this. Well, I have taken way past your time that you've allocated with me. I can't believe it's already been almost 40 minutes. I already knew that the time went by fast. And I guarantee everyone listening, this will be a part two. There will be a part two, a part three, and we will have another podcast because we all want to listen to your journey. I'm invested. I want to know your wins, your challenges along the way as oil and gas becomes bigger and booming, where you're at, because this will be awesome to, and I think that we'll be able to share our experiences on what has worked for us and what hasn't worked. Yes. Working with these oil and gas service providers, so we could, you know, give you guys some insight on what we've experienced here. But do you have any final thoughts, any final words for the listeners today?
Yeah, we are also very excited to collaborate with True Safety, with you. We share the same passion. That's why I started following you also on social media, and that's how we connected. We have huge plans to go further with safety. Safety is a calling. Safety is my calling, and educating people mm-hmm. on safety. I feel so, like it's my job to do that, because I had the chance to learn that from other companies, from other multinationals, and I want to. Mm-hmm. Provide that also to other companies, that they can educate their people to work safe, to be competitive in this world, to ensure that everyone goes home safely. That is the main goal of safety. Yeah, and I'm mm-hmm. so looking forward.
Yes, I'm one of your guys' biggest cheerleaders. I'm here to root you guys on. I know you're up to big things. I know you have a strong calling on your life to serve, and watching you impact thousands, eventually millions of lives is going to be an incredible journey to watch you on. So thank you so much for talking with us today. Yes. And everyone, stay tuned. What we'll do with this podcast is we'll link all of your contact information, the business website. If people want to, you know, ask questions or just get in contact with you directly, we're going to provide you with those links. And everyone, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk with you next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Apollonia. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It was fun.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the True Safety Podcast with Apollonia Rockwell. If you are looking to save time and money with your safety program this year, we'd love to hear from you. Head to truesafetyservices.com/podcast to schedule a free call with our team, where we will help you identify the biggest opportunities for growth in your company and safety program, and we'll connect you with the right resources to help you grow. Again, that is truesafetyservices.com/podcast. Thanks so much for listening. We will see you next week. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and share with your friends. If you know anyone who needs to hear this episode today, click the share button and send them this episode.